Chapter 4. Guns. Sometimes, the most unlikely people think of terrible things. In 1805, John Forsyth invented a way of making guns fire better, and in all weathers. He was a church minister. Richard Gatling, who built the first machine gun, was a doctor. Wars led to rapid progress, but people suffer and die. Is this a fair price to pay? Whatever we think, the story of the gun is part of human history. Gunpowder. Chinese scientists first discovered that when you lit certain materials, they produced a lot of gas very quickly. The Chinese also realized that if these materials were put into a container and lit, they could blow the container to pieces. In a Chinese book from 1044, three ways of making gunpowder are discussed, although gunpowder probably existed for at least 200 years before this. The first bombs were made by filling wooden tubes with gunpowder and pieces of iron. These were then shot from a bow. There were also true rockets, which were powered by gunpowder. In 1126, a man called Li Gang wrote that he ordered the people of the city of Kaifeng to fire cannon at the Nuzhen people who were attacking them. Many of the Nuzhens died. Within the next 100 years, cannon were produced which were strong enough to make holes in the walls of a city. The invention of gunpowder helped the Chinese to keep their northern neighbors, the Mongols, out of their country for many years. In time, though, the Mongols took Chinese gunpowder makers prisoner, learned how to make gunpowder themselves, and then used it against the Chinese. As the Mongols moved west, gunpowder traveled with them. Guns in Europe. The method of making gunpowder arrived in the Arab world in the 12th century. In England, Roger Bacon, who is sometimes called the first English scientist, read about it in Arabic writing and so brought the idea west. The first cannon appeared in Europe soon after this, copies of the guns used by the Arabs. These were made in the same way as a wooden barrel, with a number of long pieces of metal held together by round pieces. This is why, even today, we use the word barrel for the long part of a gun. This method of making them meant that the cannon had a number of weak points and might blow up easily. To try to stop this happening, they were very heavy. Since they were expensive to make, needed a team of skilled men, and could only move around very slowly, they were more useful for attacking cities than enemy armies. From their first appearance, castles began to be less useful in protecting cities. Cannon were placed on European ships almost as soon as they appeared, and their use increased, sometimes with terrible results for the ship. Special openings were cut into the sides of ships so they could fire out. In 1545, King Henry VIII's finest warship, the Mary Rose, sank because she was carrying too many guns. There were many similar problems, but guns continued to be used in greater and greater numbers. In 1805, Nelson's ship, the Victory, fought at Trafalgar with 104 guns. Gunfire rarely sank wooden ships, though. Most ships were simply hit and hit again until they couldn't move, and most of the sailors were dead. Handguns. The first handguns, which appeared in the 14th century, were simply smaller cannon. The metal barrel was held under the arm and a match was put to a hole at the back. Not surprisingly, there was little chance of hitting anything. Then a wooden piece was fitted to the back so that the gun could be fired from the shoulder. Later, the match was fixed to a movable metal part. This made it easier to touch it down on the gunpowder. This type of gun, known as a matchlock, had a much greater chance of hitting the enemy. When guns first appeared, the most powerful killing machine in Western Europe was the Welsh longbow, and later the English longbow. This could hit a man at least 300 meters away and pass through metal plate at distances of over 50 meters. A good bowman could do this 15 times a minute, and the result was usually death in large numbers. But to pull a bow as powerful as this, a man had to practice day after day from about the age of 14. The bodies of long-dead bowmen have recently been dug up, and they show that the bow changed the shape of the men's backbones. Although the matchlock was much slower, a man could be taught to use it in a very short time. The chances of hitting anybody were smaller, but its killing power was much greater. Although it was possible to make metal plate thick enough to stop a bullet, it was uncomfortably heavy. During the 16th century, guns became more popular than bows. The problem with the matchlock was that the match had to be lit first and taken care of all the time. Inventors looked for ways to solve this. The result, early in the 16th century, was the wheel lock. In this new gun, a rough metal wheel was turned against a material which produced fire, in exactly the same way as a cigarette lighter works. This meant that the gun could be carried ready to fire. The wheel lock, though, was expensive to produce, and it didn't work every time. The next important invention appeared in the late 16th century. In this, a piece of stone struck against a metal plate. This type of gun was much simpler and cheaper to make. If it wasn't raining, it usually worked, and guns like this were used for the next 2.5 centuries. By the 1820s, a new firing method had appeared. Small pieces of metal were filled with gunpowder, which caused an explosion when they were struck. These weren't affected by the weather, and they were much simpler, so it was now easier to produce guns which fired many times. In 1836, Samuel Colt of Connecticut, U.S., invented a simple type of handgun which fired 5 or 6 bullets, one after another. By the middle of the century, guns of this type were commonly used and became part of the story of the American West. We're all familiar with movies where the hero uses a gun made by Colt. There is even a saying in the U.S., Abraham Lincoln made men free, Sam Colt made them equal. The rifle. In the early 19th century, bullets were round. Because they had to be pushed in from the open end of the gun, they didn't fit tightly. This space around the bullet meant that it didn't fly very straight when it was fired. Back in the 16th century, a new gun had appeared which had curved lines cut into the inside of the barrel. These made a quarter turn as they went from end to end, so the bullet turned as it left the gun. This meant that a bullet could fly much straighter and kill at a greater distance. There was a disadvantage, though, because it was difficult to push the bullet down the barrel. It took much longer to prepare this new gun, called a rifle, for firing, so rifles were mainly used for hunting. Many years later, though, this began to change. During the War of Independence of 1775 to 83, Americans used their hunting rifles against British soldiers and found they could hit their enemies from a long distance. The British learned from the experience, and riflemen fought in Portugal, Spain, and France from 1807 to 1814. Dressed in green uniforms, they were taught to move out ahead of the army and work independently. Next, a gun was needed where the bullet didn't have to be pushed down the barrel. It was easy enough to make a gun that could be opened, but there was an escape of gas from loose gunpowder and the bullet didn't travel as far. So the bullet and the gunpowder were put inside a metal tube. This produced a bullet, as we know it today. Although repeating rifles didn't work well enough for armies to use them until toward the end of the 19th century, even a single-shot rifle could now fire fairly quickly and kill at a long distance. So, soldiers couldn't stand in straight lines and shoot at each other. In the American Civil War, men used natural cover or dug holes in the ground. We might think of this as the first modern war in the way that men fought, and in the numbers who died. More than 500,000 people were killed. The machine gun. In the year after the war began, a new and even more terrible type of gun was invented. It had 10 barrels which were turned by a handle and could fire 200 bullets a minute. Richard Gatling, an American doctor, first thought of it, and it was called the machine gun. 20 years later, an American called Hiram Maxim, was living in London when another American suggested a way for him to get rich. He said that Maxim should invent something that allowed Europeans to kill each other more easily. Maxim's answer was a machine gun with one barrel. Every time a bullet was fired, the hot gas was used to pull the next one into position. It could fire 300 bullets a minute. In the first years, though, the Maxim gun wasn't used against Europeans, but mainly against Africans. The Maxim gun and the repeating rifle allowed small numbers of soldiers to defend themselves against large numbers of fighters who had little equipment. Until this time, European control of Africa had been mainly limited to areas near the coast. It was too expensive in money and lives to try to take the more central areas using single-shot guns. Now things changed. In 1879, a force of Zulus had killed over 1,300 British soldiers at Isandlwana in southern Africa. Only 15 years later, during the Matabele War, 50 soldiers with four Maxim guns successfully defended themselves against 5,000 Matabele. At Omdurman in 1898, Maxim guns played their part in the killing of 11,000 men in exchange for just 28 British lives. The writer Hilaire Belloc described the hard new reality when he wrote, "Whatever happens, we have got the Maxim gun and they have not." The new repeating rifles and the Maxim gun meant that quite small numbers of soldiers were able to win battles in Africa. In the last years of the 19th century, the European countries raced to take control of the continent. This, and another race to get more modern guns, led to the beginning of the First World War in 1914. The race also meant building bigger and bigger warships, but when the war came, most of the ships stayed at home. Neither side was willing to send them out. If they were lost, the country would be defenseless. Instead, the war was fought on land, and great numbers were killed by repeating rifles, machine guns, and cannon. On the 1st of July, 1916, the British Army attacked the Germans along the River Somme in France. By the end of the day, over 19,000 of its men were dead, and no real progress had been made. This was the high point, or low point, of the power of the gun. Since then, improvements in army vehicles and air power have meant that the advantage isn't always with the defenders.